Of Luke, the seventh chapter, of the Gospel of Luke. I begin reading in verse 1. I'm going to entitle the message, Lofty Attitudes of a Lowly People. Now, when we had ended all his sayings, in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. All right, we have a centurion. A centurion was a man posted in the Roman army that was over about 100 soldiers. And we read in these passages that he had a slave, a young slave, a young servant that was very sick. Actually, I believe it's what it says in these passages in verse 2. He was close to death. He was ready to die. He heard about Jesus, and he sent unto Jesus the elders of the Jews. Now, keep in mind, the centurion soldier was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. But he heard about the ability and the power of Jesus. You know, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. It's important for people to hear about the healing and the help that's provided through Christ Jesus. That's why we preach. That's why these people stood up and they testified in this service this morning. That's why they go out in the world and they tell people about what Jesus has done for them, because people need to hear about Jesus. Now, this centurion heard about Jesus and he responded to it. Listen, my friend, if you never respond to the gospel message, you'll never be saved. He responded to what he heard. Now, there's people here that have told you about the saving grace of God. You may have had mothers or fathers that told you about the saving grace of God, yet you've not been saved yet. You may have a spouse that has told you about the saving grace of God, but you've never experienced it yet. You may have had a child that got saved before you did and told you about the saving grace of God, but you've not experienced it yet. You've heard about it, but you've not yet experienced it yet. You need to respond to what you have heard. Jesus saves. Your greatest need is eternal life provided through the atoning death of Jesus on the cross. He heard about Jesus. He sent the elders of Capernaum to Jesus to speak to him on his behalf. And let's notice. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this. In other words, the Jews, the elders of the Jews came to Jesus and they said, look, this centurion guy, he's got a problem, he's got a need, and he is worthy of help. He's a very important and very distinguished individual in our community. He's a man of great integrity. We'll go on and read in the next couple of verses, like in verse 5, that he did a lot of benevolence. He helped other people. He actually built, okay, he built and constructed a synagogue for the Jews. Now, this was extraordinary. This was unusual for a Gentile to be this industrious, to be this concerned, somebody in the Roman army, in the Roman government, in Roman politics, concerned about the Jews. He possibly was a proselyte. I'm not sure. He may have been a Roman soldier, and yet he believed in Judaism. He believed in the Messiah. I'm not sure about all of that. But I do know this. The man was very generous, very helpful. You know, a lot of people today think that being good or being helpful or doing good works is good enough. It's not. Not when it comes to being saved. And so that even people of the community thought, this man is worthy. If anybody is worthy of help, it's the centurion. And so they pleaded his case, concerning this young boy. And think of that. He must have been a man of great integrity. He was a centurion, a commander in the Roman army, over 100 soldiers, and he's concerned about a young slave boy being sick. Not only was he generous, he was compassionate. He was concerned. He had sympathy. There was this young boy that was sick. It wasn't a relative. It wasn't a relative. It wasn't his son or his nephew or his cousin. It possibly, it perhaps, wasn't even one of a Roman citizen. I really doubt it being a Roman citizen. It was a foreigner who was a slave. And yet the centurion had compassion and was concerned and was seeking medical attention and seeking help. He was ready to die. And so these Jews, they went and they pleaded his case before Jesus. Notice verse 5. It says, he loveth our nation. He loveth our nation. And he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with him. Now keep in mind, the Jewish elder said, if anybody is worthy, this man is. Now they had a lofty attitude with respect to what this man had done. They figured that he was very worthy of help and of what Jesus could do in healing this servant. But let's notice the attitude of the man who had this distinguished reputation. Now, I want to point out something. Having a sense of unworthiness is a good thing. It's a very good thing. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, we need to sense our unworthiness for all the mercies and all the graces that God has given us. This centurion, he loves our nation. He's built a synagogue. So Jesus went with them. So he and Jesus and the elders, they're going to the centurion's house or where this young boy was sick. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy. Everybody say that with me. I am not worthy. That ought to be a frequent phrase within our vocabulary, especially when we approach God. God, help me, but I am not worthy. He said, I'm not worthy. Notice, he didn't say, I'm not worthy for you to heal my sick servant. He said, I'm not even worthy for you to come into my home. I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself, actually he said, I didn't even think myself worthy to come and see you. He didn't even feel worthy to come into the very presence of Jesus. That's why he sent his friends, the elders of the city, the Jewish elders, to see Jesus concerning this matter. He says in this passage, I wasn't even worthy to come into your presence. Though I myself to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this. He does it. When Jesus heard these sayings, he marveled. Now, Jesus was only amazed twice that we have record of in Scripture. He was amazed and marveled at Nazareth, because they did not receive him, because they did not realize who he was. And this second time here, where he's amazed about something, what was he amazed about? He was amazed at the faith that the centurion had. Notice, he marveled, and he turned to him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. So the man was worthy from a human viewpoint, but he did not see himself as worthy. Too many times we have a lofty opinion of ourselves, and that's very dangerous. We have in our society all these bubbles, you know, Silicon Valley bubble. We have the housing bubble. Well, we've got a Christian bubble that needs to bust. It's a Christianity that goes around saying that you deserve it. It's yours for the taking. Yes, it's God's free gift, and just grab it whenever you want it. That is a misuse and an abuse of God's grace. Christianity has always had a consciousness of unworthiness. Though people may assume that we're worthy of these things, in reality, none of us are worthy of God's grace. Actually, you can't experience God's grace until you feel a sense, a true sense of unworthiness. We need to be low and not lifted up with pride. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to the young minister Timothy and said, don't you ordain a minister of the gospel to be a pastor who is a novice, lest he be lifted up with pride and fall in the snare of the devil. Humility is very healthy for us. We need to be humble. The Bible says in the book of James that God resisteth the proud and he giveth grace to the humble. The old prophet said, the minor prophet said, this is the whole duty of man. What is the whole duty of man? To walk humbly before God. We need to be more humble than what we are. Christianity is bloated. I mean, it's big-headed. It's going around with a pride. And I'll tell you, pride goeth before a fall, a haughty spirit before destruction. God likes to be with the lowly, the contrite, the broken, those who humble themselves. Listen, if you're here today and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you'll never get saved unless you humble yourself in the sight of God. Christianity wants to remove all of this, spirit or this attitude of unworthiness. You don't hear it in a lot of preaching nowadays. Actually, they devise systems and plans where that if some sinner just gets under conviction and has an attitude or a spirit of unworthiness or humility, they rush them off to another room. I don't like that. When I got under conviction, realized my unworthiness and needed the grace of God, I ran to the altar, I fell on my face, I cried mightily unto God, and I believe that that sense of unworthiness needs to be felt in sinners, and they should not be ashamed of it. Amen. There were times when I was seeking the Lord and I was under conviction and I was trying to repent of my sins, I even crawled under the altar. Couldn't get low enough. I felt a sense of unworthiness. And even in my Christian life, even as pastor of this church, I'm not worthy to be here. I'm not. I'm not worthy to be part of the Lord's church. I'm not worthy to be a pastor. None of us are worthy of Christianity. None of us are worthy of the blessings and the grace that God gives us. None of us. We're not worthy of this fellowship that we enjoy, but aren't you glad you enjoy it? We're not worthy of the joy and the peace and the comfort and the consolation and the sense of understanding that Christ is with us. We're not worthy of none of that. Yet we enjoy it day in and day out. No matter what kind of greatness the world may see in us, no matter how the world presents us before Christ, these high thoughts of ourselves cause us to have low thoughts about Christ. When we think we're something, when we're nothing, the Bible says what? We've deceived ourselves. Deceived ourselves. We believed a lie. We were under a delusion, as we read in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 11, where the evil of this world has caused us to embrace some strong delusion that we should believe a lie. this arrogancy within the Christian faith and the arrogancy among sinners. Let me pause and say something about that. Where sinners just go to God and they say, God, I demand you to save me. You can't do that. Huh? No. No, I'll tell you how you come to Jesus. You come to Jesus crying and washing his feet with your tears and wiping his feet with a hair of your head. You come as those lepers that came down before Jesus and they fell on their face before God. That's how you come to Jesus. You come to Jesus in humility. You come to Jesus seeking God. You come to Jesus calling upon him. You come in iniquity and because of your sins and your convictions heavy upon you. You come saying, unclean, unclean. You come as a sinner. The only way you can ever get saved is come as a sinner. I can't, people today, I'm astonished. I can't believe how some people say they're coming before a holy God and don't respond like Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6. I'm an unclean person. You know, I dwell among a bunch of unclean people. How can you stand before a holy God and kick your shoulders back and kick your head up and make demands of God? You can't. The only cry you have, the only plea we have is a plea for mercy. God, have mercy on me. That's our prayer. That's our plea. That's our cry. Our accessibility to God and our perspective of ourself go hand in hand. We need to have a base perspective of ourself. Let's notice a couple of passages of Scripture with respect to that. There's many that I could bring to your attention. You know, Jesus said that the person who was a base, he would be what? He would be exalted. He said the people that were exalted, they would what? They would be a base. We have John the Baptist, who is considered one of the greatest men of the world, apart from Jesus Christ. And when he was in the presence of the Lord, did he give him a high five? You know, did he consider him some kind of celestial friend? You know, I'm buddies with Christ, or just considered him like a fan of a rock star? No, I'll tell you how he felt. He felt unworthy to even unlatch his sandals. He said, I'm unworthy. And Mark chapter 1 and verse 7, even stoop down and loosen his sandals. I think the attitude of John the Baptist is the right attitude that we need to have toward Christ. Amen. I'm unworthy. Unworthy to even unlatch his sandals. You know, Jacob said in Genesis chapter 32 and 10, he said, I'm unworthy of the smallest, the most minute, the most small miracles that have transformed in my life, the things that have gone on in my life. I am not worthy of them. And people, we're not unworthy of the miracles that we enjoy, the mercies that we enjoy in our lives today. We're not worthy of them. We're not. We're not. Every breath that we take, we're not even worthy of. So, you know, I know we have a Christianity out there that goes around saying, oh, you know, you want to have a high self-esteem. Wrong. If you have a high self-esteem evaluation of yourself, if you think you're something, you're not going to be high up in Christianity. You're not going to walk close to God. The humble walk close to God. Are you with me? The base. That's what Jesus said. That's what I believe. That's what the Word teaches. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and 3, if a man thinks he's something, he's what? Nothing. Nothing. If you've got a high opinion of yourself, you're nothing. Nothing. And when he is nothing, he deceives himself. It's in Luke chapter 14 and verse 11. Jesus made it real plain for us. He said this. He said, whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So a base attitude is what we need. Right? Yeah. Yeah. And I think when we have the right attitude of ourselves, actually what we're doing is just being honest with ourselves. We're coming to the truth. We're coming closer to the light, like I was teaching Wednesday night. And the closer we get to the light, the more we see just how unworthy we really are. Unworthy! It's good for us. It's good for us to feel unworthy. It keeps us in perspective. It keeps our lives in perspective. It keeps the truth before us. We know that we're close to God when we're close to the light. And the closer we get to the light, the more we have fellowship with God. And the more we have fellowship with God, the more unworthy we feel of it. More unworthy we feel of it. In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, God says, I'm the high and lofty one, inhabiteth all eternity. I dwell with the humble, the contrite, those who have a humble and contrite spirit. Jesus taught us, he that is great really is little, and those that are little are great. Even Paul taught that in the church, didn't he? Huh? When he's talking about the members of the body, those members of the body that we consider small and insignificant, Paul said they're very, very, very important. So the centurion, according to the world, he was worthy of this. But he had a sense of unworthiness that he felt. He didn't feel worthy of even Jesus coming to his home. But notice something. In conjunction with unworthiness, he had a strong, amazing faith. And I think that you always have connected to humility faith. If you're not trusting in yourself, if you empty yourself of self, the only thing to put there is the Savior. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. If you don't have any confidence in yourself, then you can put more confidence in Christ. And so in conjunction with this humility and this sense of unworthiness, he had an amazing, strong faith like Christ had not seen anywhere else. There are people here today that are among us that have heard about Jesus, just like the centurion. There are people here today who are much like the centurion. They're noble people. They've done some good things in life, as far as good things go among men. They try to help their neighbors and be a good father and be a good mother and be a good neighbor and be a good citizen and, giving an honest day's work and seemingly trying to do all the right things as far as good deeds are concerned. And a lot of people look at those people and say, well, that person's worthy of Jesus helping them. But I contend that the true aspects of the Christian faith and the true aspects of salvation come down to this one simple truth: unworthy. All of us are unworthy. And if you've never sensed that and felt that, I pray that you'll fall down before the Lord and you'll start coming to the Lord the right way. Not as one who's worthy, but you'll come as a beggar. That you'll come pleading with the Lord and calling upon the Lord and asking the Lord, sensing and feeling your unworthiness. He's a holy God. A holy God. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. How unworthy we are of the coming of Jesus Christ and the death of on his cross. Now, I want to say this in closing. I know there are a lot of people that might come along and say, well, I'm too bad of a person, or I'm so unworthy, I'm not going to come to the Lord. Bible says the Lord saves according to his own choosing. He says, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And when you don't come, when you turn away the blood and the offer of salvation, you're actually calling God a liar, because God sent his son to save you. And whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. And when you turn that away, God loves you and wants to save you and give you eternal life. None of us are worthy, but God loves the whole world. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave. He loved who? The worthy world? No. No. The unworthy world? Doesn't even say that, does it? God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, if you have never come to the cross, something is keeping you from coming. Something is keeping you from Jesus. Something is hindering you. And I want to say to you young people that have grown up in church, you've been under the sound of the gospel all of your life, but you've never made a move toward the cross. You've never sought the Lord. You didn't even act like you've ever been lost. Listen, there's something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. The devil has deceived you. He's got a stronghold in your mind and in your heart. Perhaps what he's done is he's caused you to be lifted up with pride. And if you read in Isaiah 12 and Ezekiel 24, you'll find out that's what caused the devil to become the devil in the first place. He was lifted up with pride. And it's a powerful tool that he still uses today. Listen, it's time you shake off that foolish pride. It's time for you to call upon the Lord. It's time for you to go to God in humility. I know there's a lot of people that are apparently ashamed of humbling themselves. They're ashamed of falling down upon their face and calling upon the Lord. They're ashamed of shedding tears. Listen, I'll tell you something. You're going to have to call upon him the way God has called upon you to call upon him, or you'll never be saved. I know some of you want to get saved somewhere back behind a barn somewhere, but that's not the way it always works. Sometimes the Lord calls upon you to step out of the aisle and go down to that altar and fall on your face and shed a bucket of tears because of your sins in front of this whole audience. And I'll tell you, that's the way I found it. Many others here found it that way as well. We had to humble ourselves. And I'll tell you, if you really exhibit true humility, you won't care who's watching. Amen. Amen. True baseness. True humility. That God likes to see is somebody who is genuine. Amen. Who's real. The centurion said, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. Do you feel that? Those of us who've been saved for a while, we sense it, don't we? Unworthy of this grace and this mercy. Unworthy to be here. Thank God I belong. I'm unworthy to be in the family of God, but I belong here. I've been saved. Oh, I've been bought with a price. Had the spirit of adoption, all because of Jesus. Been justified by faith. Have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein I have access to this grace, where I stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Not worthy to be in this grace, but I belong here. Why? Because I've been justified by faith. I want to sing a verse of some song. You're here this morning. God is calling your name. And you might sense a degree of unworthiness. That's good. That's good. People, listen, we're going to have to preserve that. We're going to preserve that in a time when we have all these Joel Osteens and all of these TV preachers, and they're propagating this self-esteem Christianity. Oh, come on. Huh? Yeah. They pump people full of worthiness. Worthy to be a Christian. Worthy to be a church member. Worthy of wealth and health and glory. Listen, none of us are worthy of anything that God gives us. Yes, I realize this is not going to bust the bubble that's inflated in our modern day Christianity. God's not going to use this sermon to do that, but I hope it does it in your head and in your heart. As we stand and sing, if there's somebody here lost and in your sins, would you come? When are you going to come as a beggar? When are you going to come as Bartimaeus? Who just stood on the side of the road blind and said, "Oh thou Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." That was his plea and his cry. He didn't care who hurt him. Even people tried to stop him from making a racket. But he continued the more. "Oh thou Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Like the lepers used to walk around in the days of Christ, they cried, "Unclean, unclean, unclean, unclean." We today walk down the aisle going to Jesus saying, "Unworthy." Going to the cross saying, "Unworthy, unworthy, unworthy." Listen, my friend, Jesus is speaking to you. Don't harden your heart. Come to him. I mean, just come to him. He's here. Everybody has had to come this way. The way of the unworthy. If you've never come the way of the unworthy, come to him today. God resisteth the proud. He gives grace to the humble. He's always, always, always responded. Always responded to the humble. He always honors the humble. Some of the greatest men of the Bible, Abraham, when he saw the holiness of God, he says, "I am a worm, a worm, a worm in the presence of Holy God." Job also, one of the greatest men of God in all of the world, said, "I abhor myself in dust and ashes." The Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, said, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am." I pray the holy God that we serve lets you see yourself as he sees you.